This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. A recent court victory for Via Metropolitan Transit has cleared the tracks for the streetcar project. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott and candidate for governor went to court to try to stop the use of the sales tax of funds collected by the Advanced Transportation District for building these transit centers, but Abbott lost that court fight. We're going to be talking about where we are right now with the streetcar project. We want to hear your questions and comments. Still very controversial issue here for the city. Call in at 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And to answer your questions, we've got former Congressman Charlie Gonzalez, now Chief of Public Engagement for VIA, here in the studio. Welcome to The Source, Charlie.
Thank you for having me.
So Greg Abbott says VIA cannot do this. We had some comments from Henry Munoz, the head of the VIA board, talking about that.
Almost every transit authority in the United States sells bonds to pay for improvements and rider amenities. And it was highly unusual that the Attorney General of the state of Texas questioned our use of these bonds.
And that was Chair Henry Munoz, chair of the VIA Metropolitan Board, basically criticizing Greg Abbott for him getting involved in this issue, which many saw as kind of political. What was Greg Abbott's argument for VIA not being able to use these funds?
Basically, he said that it was a violation of a contract with the voters, that it was a prohibited or restricted use of revenues derived from the Advanced Transportation District sales tax of 1/4 cent, of which VIA receives 1/2 of that. We get 1/8 cent. And we were actually financing the issuance of bonds with that money for park and ride facilities, as well as our two transit centers, one on the east and one on the west side. And they simply claimed that the fact that a streetcar may be passing in the proximity was the violation, because the ATD revenue monies, there was a representation. And, of course, first you have to say that streetcar equates to light rail, which is not true. But just to avoid that whole issue and such, none of this money was being used for the streetcar. But I think the Attorney General had three different grounds trying to tie in the transit centers somehow directly to the streetcar project. That was never the intention of VIA, and I think the judge saw that immediately and ruled in our favor.
Now, you said just because these streetcars just happen to be going past these transit centers.
Sure.
I mean, aren't these transit centers actually anchoring these streetcars?
Absolutely not. These transit centers obviously pre-exist any streetcar, because you don't have those in existence. But even if you look at our whole system and the route of the streetcar, whatever we do with a streetcar that may be in the proximity of any of these transit centers, those funds actually will be coming from other sources. And we will say this, that if you're on a streetcar and you happen to stop on the other side of the street of a transit center, you will be able to walk across and use the facility. You'll be able to go and take the bus, and, of course, vice versa. You can take the bus, you get off at the transit center, you walk across the street, and you get on a streetcar. But that does not mean that you are using those funds strictly or directly for the benefit of the streetcar. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to have almost any project that has any restriction on the use of the funds for which to build the project, because you would always try, you could tie in some sort of a connection, or what is referred to as a nexus, with some sort of activity outside of that center. It made no sense. I mean, the judge basically looked at the lawyers and said, he didn't say it in these words, but he said, you got to be kidding.
He was pretty harsh.
You know, I was a judge once, and I understand where he was coming from, and that was simply this. After 3 hours of testimony, the state didn't have any evidence. And so you sit there, and in essence, you're saying, you got to be kidding. I'm not going to rule in your favor. I'm ruling for VIA.
Right, but the It's not just a coincidence or happenstance that the track is going to go right by these transit centers, the one on the east and one on the west of downtown, right? I mean, it's part of the planning. You guys, this is how this is going to be efficient, and this is how this is going to work.
All transit centers or all transit authorities attempt to have something that we call connectivity, and that is obviously to make the greatest use of your resources. And it has to be multimodal, so you can have your traditional bus service, you can have your Primo or your Express, and you can have streetcar, and you can have light rail some year. And yes, what you try to do is derive the benefits of all of those to the rider, which means what? Some centralization in different substations and such that makes sense. But that's just, I'd like to say that's almost just common sense and good planning.
All right. Well, we've got a caller from Jeff Judson. He's called in, and our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980. And Jeff Judson, of course, has been very critical of the streetcar project. And let's get him on the line. Jeff, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So go ahead.
Heard about that. No, go ahead.
So the issue, I mean, you brought this argument, and you contacted the Attorney General's office, and you asked them to get involved, right?
Well, we were contacting the Attorney General's office for advice about what the law allows when it comes to enforcing promises that were made to taxpayers when they voted for a tax, the ATD tax. So that's one of the roles of the Attorney General is to interpret the law and advise citizens about what the law says and how they can comply and how they can work through things. So that was our contact at the AG's office.
And but there have been people who have said that you were actually receiving information from the inside of the AG's office about the progress of this argument, of this suit, even more so than, say, even NVIDIA was getting about notifications about how this was progressing. And people were wondering if there was a connection there.
Well, I know that's the spin, but the fact of the matter is the Attorney General has to approve every single public bond that's issued in the state of Texas. And he does so by looking at all the facts and evidence and circumstances. And so we were presenting some facts and evidence and circumstances to him that he would consider in approving these bonds. It was a perfectly appropriate role for any citizen to play and the way the system is designed. The VIA's attorneys, you know, on two separate occasions threatened us with personal sanctions. And
like, you know, what? What's a personal sanction?
Well,
they'll take away your bus pass?
I wish that had been their threat. They their attorneys threatened the two plaintiffs in the lawsuit and the attorney for the lawsuit with personal sanctions if they didn't drop the lawsuit immediately. Then I was subpoenaed. I was subpoenaed by the VIA attorneys.
Okay, we're going to don't go away. We have to take this break. It's a hard hit break. We got to take it, but we'll be back in 1 minute. Jeff Judson, we'll be right back talking about where we are with the VIA Metropolitan and the streetcar project. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about where we are right now with the VIA streetcar project. The VIA just won a court battle that challenged their use of the Advanced Transportation District funds for bonds that would be used for transit centers that would be not directly connected to the streetcar project, but would be operating in tandem with the streetcar project. And we've got in the studio former Congressman Charlie Gonzalez, now the Chief of Public Engagement for VIA, and on the phone, Jeff Judson. He is a vocal critic. And Jeff, your organization is called with Heritage, or what? Tell me again, what is it?
Well, I'm a senior fellow with the Heartland Institute.
Heartland Institute. Okay, so you were talking to me, telling me about you were being subpoenaed and sanctioned, and you felt, VIA was playing rough with you, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just citizens that are just trying to enforce promises that were made. And so their second threat was that they were going to make us post a bond and possibly pay their attorney's fees if we intervened in their lawsuit against the Attorney General that was heard last week. So, you know, there's a lot of heavy-handed tactics, and we're the taxpayers at a distinct disadvantage in trying to just have a fair and reasonable discussion about this.
Okay, well, I can't keep you on the phone forever because you called in on our call-in line, and so that keeps everyone else from getting in on the conversation, Jeff. But let me just get Charlie's reaction to that really quick.
I'm going to try to keep it as brief as possible. I don't know where to start when someone can have so many misrepresentations in a matter of a couple of minutes. Villa's lawyers didn't threaten anybody. What they simply said was, you're filing a frivolous lawsuit. You have a right to file a lawsuit. You have a right to seek redress. You don't have a right to file a frivolous, baseless lawsuit that will cost someone else, in this case the taxpayer and the writers of our services, inconvenience and money. That's what we were saying. Now, it is interesting that Jeff admits that he provided some valuable information to the Attorney General. And I will tell Jeff, they ran with your information. They presented your argument. They presented the same argument that the plaintiffs made in their lawsuit, which they did dismiss, by the way. And guess what? The Attorney General lost.
Yeah, and it was kind of an embarrassing loss. But, Jeff, you know, this frivolous lawsuit stuff, frequently that is an argument brought forth by conservatives who want tort reform, and they're the ones that have brought forth a loser-pays type of sanctions for these types of things. And that's kind of the world that we've created.
Well, the loser here is the taxpayer either way, and I don't think the loser-pays had that in mind. But the Attorney General's arguments – our evidence was distinct and different and than what was the case that was made in the courtroom. I'm sorry that liberal judge decided to, you know, teach Attorney General Abbott a lesson. But hopefully he's going to appeal, and this will go on. But even if he doesn't appeal, this is only round one of a multi-round battle.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thank you for that. Thanks for calling in. Next time we do this, we'd love to get you in on the whole half hour, but because of the mechanism, it didn't work out that way, but I appreciate that. So is there an appeal?
A judge signed a final judgment yesterday in which the state of Texas, through the Attorney General, waived any appeal. There will not be an appeal by the Attorney General.
So this is done business.
It's done business. I will say this, though, that the law does provide for interveners to still come into the lawsuit if they wish to appeal the judge's ruling.
Okay, let's get some other callers in on this. John has called in. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having my call. I think a lot of the opposition to this, both from the public and probably from some of the city's partners in the state, and other governments, is that this is very reminiscent of the old act down in Mexico where they take a donkey and paint some white stripes on it and call it a zebra. We're calling it a trolley. We're saying that it has nothing to do with these, you know, hubs, but obviously it does. And my question is, why not just go for a full light rail program, call it a light rail program, and go with the intention that that's what it's going to be instead of kind of dancing around the issue of what this actually is?
Okay, John, good question. Thanks for calling in. Why not have a citywide vote on light rail?
This is not a light rail project.
But why not have one?
At this point in time, I will say now, if anyone will look at the long-range plan for VIA, light rail is a component. At this point, though, what VIA's Board of Trustees thought was feasible at this point in time was going to be a streetcar circulator-type system, which, with the funding in hand, well, you're not raising anybody's taxes, it's not a referendum, you're not creating a taxing district, you're not doing any of those things that generally would go to the voters. In this case, that does not exist. I am a firm believer in a light rail system. Go to Dallas, go to Houston, you'll be going to Austin soon, we'll be the only city, we are the largest city with an all rubber-tired public transportation system, by the way. So I would ask the caller to encourage VIA to pursue its long-term range plan that incorporates light rail. We need supporters.
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. Mark has called in. Mark, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
I'm a downtown resident. I work and I live downtown, and the proposed route, which of course is the most expensive of the proposed routes, is going to go right by my apartment on St. Mary's. And I just don't think that the county commissioners put too much thought about the logistics. It's three lanes. One lane is for buses exclusively. Dumpsters constantly parked there. There are always people who are standing and parking. I just don't think this is that anyone put some thought into this. And you mentioned, or you asked the former representative why we didn't vote on light rail. We already did. It was voted down. And so I'm just wondering, number one, why it wasn't voted on this time. Number two, what the county is doing for mental health downtown, because as a downtown resident, there are so many people who need mental health services that would, I just think that, I'm just wondering what's going to happen when this ends up costing 10 times more than is projected and is a complete failure. I just want to know what's going to happen then.
Okay, Mark, thank you for your call. That's kind of a pessimistic question there, but you know, he's what about the route? He talks about the route, and it goes down St. Mary's, and that can be kind of a tight fit at times. So how did we end up with the route that we got, and what is the route that we got?
Well, the route took in consideration many different elements, and this wasn't done overnight. This is about 100 different meetings that we had. We had stakeholders. We had economic analysis, the economic impact, how much ridership. Ridership is very, very important. The good news for Mark is that this is going to take a huge percentage of the downtown bus traffic off the streets in the way that we have provided for the streetcar route, and the fact that we're going to be building up our multimodal west and east transit centers. So that's the good news.
So get the buses out of downtown.
We're going to get a huge percentage off downtown. The streetcar is not going to take an additional lane. In other words, wherever you find that bus today, that's where you're going to see the rail for the streetcar. It's not an additional lane that is being used up. I do want to say one thing, Mark, because I think it is important to give credit where credit is due. But I think Commissioner's Court have been very, very responsible, just not in the area of transportation, but mental health. I think you need to go over and see what they've done over in the old Brady Green. I think you need to see the cooperative and collaborative effort over at Haven for Hope. We are so much better off than we were just a few years ago.
But he talks about the vote again. People keep coming back to that. And we had a vote, you know, but it wasn't necessarily a vote straight up and down on whether or not we want streetcars. It was a vote on a streetcar plan, which a lot of people who were in favor of streetcars had a problem with. So it's not necessarily a prohibition on streetcars. Typically, it takes a while for cities to come up with the correct plan that the taxpayers would agree on.
The election in 2000, and I remember it well, I supported it, and that was a light rail system. And it was, if I remember, it could have been as much as $1 billion, 20-plus miles, I forget how many miles, and it extended. This truly was a commuter system, a true light rail system. It was voted down, and it would have created the tax in district. It would have created an additional tax. But like I always tell folks, that was in the year 2000. Things do change. And I think that we are on the cusp of a new era in transportation in San Antonio. We are far behind other municipalities, and maybe this is a wake-up call. But I venture to guess we will have that debate on light rail, and hopefully we'll have it soon.
Some people are predicting that the upcoming race for county judge in November, because Carlton Soles, former city council member, is running on the GOP ticket. We'll see who comes out of the primary between Tommy Atkinson and an incumbent county judge Nelson Wolf. But that may be the central issue on that in November, whether or not Bexar County should be supporting this light rail and the streetcar project. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping that the light rail is not held hostage as a political issue, because the first, as they say, the first casualty of a political campaign along with war is truth. And that's going to be a real problem, because you have the distortion and the exaggeration. I do believe that this streetcar system that we are putting into place is going to be an economic boom for San Antonio. It's going to serve tremendous transportation needs that we have. I'm hoping, like I said, we don't politicize this thing and try to gain some sort of political capital. You never make good policy when you just basically break things down into 10-second sound bites.
Let's get Raphael on the line. He's called in. Raphael, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. So I live on the south side of San Antonio by Palo Alto College, but I work on the north side by I-10 and Desavala. Getting to work basically takes me about 30 minutes, and I drive a truck, so I'm wasting like $80 in gas every 4 days. And what I'm wondering is if there's any long-term plan, not for light rail, but for a monorail. Because I think that is the true status of a modern city. In Monterrey, Mexico, they have a monorail, and people go all over the city, and that city is, like, pretty ginormous, and it's effective, and it's cheap. I mean, I'm wondering if that's anywhere in VIA's long-term plan, because that's something I really want to see.
Okay, Rafael, thank you for your call, and I'm familiar with Mexico's subway metro system, and it is effective, and it moves a lot of people every day.
I don't foresee that we would have a monorail. I don't foresee that we would have metro, meaning a subway. But I will say this, Rafael, VIA is looking south, and we're looking at Brook City Base to have a very extensive park and ride facility there, to have a transit center located there to meet the needs of our residents and riders in the south side of town with express buses and such. So hopefully in the very near future, we're going to give you an alternative to you having to drive your truck, because I understand what you're saying. We cannot build roads quickly enough. As soon as you add a lane, it is filled the next morning.
Real quickly, what's the next step in regards to getting this streetcar project going?
Actually, the Attorney General has been ordered to approve the bonds. What we need to go back now is tweak them to bring them up to date, because we need to reissue them, go back out into the market, find the buyer, close the deal, get the approval, and hopefully we'll be doing that in the next few weeks.
Charlie Gonzalez, former congressman and now the chief of public engagement for VIA, thanks for coming on The Source and keeping our listeners up to date on what's happening with this streetcar project. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
And when we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about some of the great women in San Antonio art history. We want to know if you've got a great story about San Antonio women in art history. This is The Source on KSTX.